Chapter 8. The Pilgrims. After only half an hour, Wilf started to limp. Harold stopped walking early, and that night they slept outside. Harold cooked them wild garlic. Wilf closed his eyes and pulled back his mouth as he ate.
"It tastes quite strange," said Harold.
"I'd prefer whiskey," Wilf replied.
Harold did not answer. Then they sat with their arms over their knees and stared at the reddened sky above the city of Sheffield.
"Don't you get scared?" asked Wilf.
"When I was a boy, my parents didn't want me," said Harold. "Then I met my wife and had a child.
That went wrong too. Since I've been walking in the open, there's not much to be afraid of."
Wilf woke up crying and shivering in the night. Harold took him in his arms.
"What's that noise?" said Wilf.
"Maybe dogs or sheep," said Harold.
"There's always a lot of noise at night. Don't worry, nothing will hurt you." He held the boy until he slept again, just like Maureen used to do with David. For the first time in weeks, Harold did not sleep that night. He sat remembering the past.
"Why did David make those choices?" he asked himself. "Would things be the same if David had had a different father?"
The next morning, Wilf continued to limp, and Harold was stiff and tired from not sleeping. They moved slowly, and it took them 2 days to reach Wakefield, but Harold felt that he could not leave the young man. Wilf's awful dreams continued. He said that he had been bad in the past, but that God would save him. On Harold's 47th day of walking, he was joined by a middle-aged woman and a father of two. Kate told him how she had suffered great pain after her boyfriend had left her, but wanted to leave it behind. She was a small woman who only wore black.
"She's fat," said Wilf.
"I don't think that you should say that," replied Harold.
"She's still fat."
The man called himself Rich, short for Richard. His last name was Lyon. He used to work in finance, but left it in his mid-30s. Since then, he had tried to find his way forward. Reading about Harold's journey had filled Rich with a hope he had not experienced since he was a child. He was a tall man, like Harold, but with a loud voice. He wore walking boots and army trousers.
"The truth is," Rich finally admitted, "I got fired from my job. My wife left me after that and took the kids. I miss the boys so much, Harold. I want them to see that I can do something. I want them to be proud of me."
As the group walked towards Leeds, they talked about which way to go. Rich wanted to avoid the city and go across the hills. Kate wanted to stay on the A61.
"What do you think?" they asked Harold.
Harold did not like arguments and said that they were both good ideas. He just wanted to get to Berwick. He had been alone for so long that he found it difficult to be with others. But they had chosen to be with him, so he felt that he must stay with them and listen to what they wanted. After 2 days, Rich had a problem with Kate.
"She acts like she's more important just because she got to you 30 minutes before me," he said, almost shouting. "But that's because she drove here."
When they reached Harrogate, Kate suggested that they stop at its famous baths to wash, but Rich wanted to shop for a knife. Harold did not want to do either, so he waited in the park where strangers stopped to ask for news about Queenie. He did not know where Wilf had gone. When Kate and Rich came back to the park, they found Harold with a young man who told them that his wife had died of cancer. He wanted to come with them, wearing a gorilla suit. Then Wolf appeared again, but he was so drunk that he could hardly walk. They traveled slowly. Wolf fell twice. They also learned that the gorilla man could not eat very much and suddenly started crying loudly when he was hot, which was most of the time. After half a mile, Harold suggested that they stop for the night. He lit the campfire and told himself that it had taken him a few days to learn how to walk and sleep in the open. He did not want to leave the group when they had shown how much they wanted to help Queenie. He wondered if having a group walking with him could help her even more. After this, more people joined. They came for a day, maybe two. If it was sunny, there could be a crowd. There were walkers, families, tourists, and people singing. There were campfires, arguments, and music. People talked about others who had died of cancer and the things that they regretted from their pasts. The bigger the numbers, the slower the group moved. Everyone had to be fed. Rich had a book on wild cooking and wanted to try making different things. They had to find and pick all the plants that he needed. They got slower and slower. Sometimes they only walked 3 miles in a day. Although they were slow, the group seemed sure of itself in a way that was new to Harold. They all had one idea: to reach Queenie Hennessy. They put out sleeping bags and slept under the sky. They promised that Queenie would live. But the arguments continued. Kate hated Rich and thought that he loved himself. He called her an old cow. Wolf kept telling people to love God, which made some of them angry. Harold listened to it all and became more and more worried. He did not care what people did. He just wanted to get to Berwick. But he knew these people now. They had suffered too, in different ways. Wolf shook at night, and Kate often sat by the fire with tears pouring down her cheeks. Even Rich, when he spoke of his boys, tried not to cry. Harold could not let them down. News about the pilgrimage continued to grow. When people heard that the group was coming near, they started to cook and bake. Food was brought to the pilgrims in big, expensive cars. Rich suggested that they should begin each meal with some words about what it meant to be a pilgrim. Harold did not want to do it, so Rich spoke instead. He asked the gorilla man to take notes. Then Rich had a meeting and accused Wolf of stealing things. He said that he should be sent home. For the first time, Harold stood up and argued. But it hurt him to do it, and he did not want to do it again. It was now mid-June, and the horizon was filled with blue mountains that Harold wanted to climb. He wanted these people to go, to find something else to believe in. But then he shook his head. He was angry with himself for wanting to leave them when they only wanted to help. Maureen decided that she had to do something. She told Rex that she was going to find Harold. She had spoken to her husband on the phone, and he said that he hoped that the pilgrims would reach Darlington by the following afternoon. As soon as it was light, she got her car keys. Locking the front door, she was surprised to hear Rex call her name. He was wearing a sun hat and holding a road map.
"I thought that you might need help with directions," he said. "According to the map, we should be in Darlington by late afternoon."
The miles flew past,
but Maureen hardly noticed them. She spoke words to Rex that covered her true feelings. What would she do if Harold did not want to see her? Maybe he was in love with Queenie. When they got to Darlington, it was easy to find him. Someone was taking photographs of the group in the city square, and Maureen joined a small crowd. There was a tall man who was telling people what to do, and a gorilla that needed a chair. A large woman was eating a sandwich, and a young, thin man was looking nervous. Harold looked like a stranger. Maureen had watched him on the Devon News, but she was not ready to see him as he really was. His clothes were full of holes, and his boating shoes had lost all their colour, but he seemed taller and wider. She felt small and weak next to him. He looked like he had finally become the man that he was born to be. Harold suddenly noticed Maureen and went still. He said something to the tall man and then came towards her alone, laughing openly. Maureen did not know what to do. She did not know whether to show him her mouth or her cheek. And he finally kissed her nose. People were watching. "Hello, Maureen." His voice was deep and strong. "Why have you come all the way to Darlington?" "Oh," she said, and laughed. "Rex and I wanted a drive." He looked around. "Is he here too?" "He's gone to visit the museum." He stared down at her, smiling. She could not stop looking at his soft mouth. "Do you have time for a cup of tea?" she said. "I would love that, Maureen," said Harold. They went to a small cafe. The waitress stared at Harold. "What will you have?" Maureen asked. Harold stared at the menu. "There's so much choice," he said. Finally, he chose a cake and hot chocolate. "And I'll have tea, please," Maureen told the girl. "Milk, no sugar." As they walked through the room, the other customers went silent, watching them. Maureen had never seen anything like it. She and Harold sat down at a table by the window so that Harold could watch the dog. It sat outside the cafe, waiting for him. They sat opposite each other, and Maureen's hands shook as she poured her tea. They both spoke at the same time. "It's nice to... lovely to..." And then they both laughed and returned to their drinks. "Do people often recognize you?" she said, finally. She sounded like a woman from the TV. He nodded. "What surprises me, Maureen, is how kind everyone is." "Where did you sleep last night?" she asked.
"In a field. I washed in a river. I don't smell, do I?"
He was eating his cake very quickly.
"No, no," she said quickly.
Suddenly, she began to cry.
"It's just... seeing you again," she said. "You look so well."
"You look well too."
"I don't, Harold. I look like someone who's been left behind."
She brushed away her tears, but they kept coming. She was sure that all the customers were watching.
"Let them stare," she thought. "I miss you, Harold. I want you to come home," she said.
She waited for him to answer, her blood rushing through her body.
"You miss me?"
he said, staring at her.
"Yes,"
he said slowly. "I miss you too." "But Maureen,
I've spent my life not doing anything, and now I'm doing something. I have to finish my walk. Queenie is waiting. Do you understand? She nodded.
Well, yes. Of course I see it.
Her tea was cold now.
I just don't see... I'm sorry, Harold. I just don't see where I fit in.
He smiled at her. You know, he said, you could walk with us. He took her hand in his. Memories of their marriage passed through her mind. She remembered him on their wedding night, coming out of the bathroom with no shirt on. He was so beautiful. She remembered him at the hospital, reaching a finger to his new baby's son. She saw all the photographs on their sitting room floor, photographs that she had chosen to forget. Then she sat back and pulled her hands away.
It's too late, she whispered and stood up. There's the garden and Rex, and I don't have my things. I should not be asking you to stop your walk. Forgive me, Harold.
His head hung so low that she thought he had fallen asleep. She shivered, like she was seeing him without clothes for the first time. Then he lifted his face and stared at her. I'm the one who needs to be forgiven, he said. 2 days later, Maureen woke to a bright sky and a light wind that played with the leaves. It was a good washing day. She stood on a chair and took down the net curtains. Light and color filled the rooms. The curtains were white and dry by the afternoon. She put them in a bag and took them to the charity shop.